So this is really important scripture. You probably know that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can look at our the cover of our bulletin where we try to remind ourselves every week, at least once a week, what we're about here. I think it emanates from this same scripture. We are all spiritual seekers working to grow in our love of God, deepening our connection to each other, and sharing with the world our passion for justice and peace. It starts here, and it moves out. It starts with me. And I always, you know, I try to be careful to remind people that grammatically in the sentence, love of neighbor comes first, right? Love of God is first, and then love your neighbor as yourself. That's how it comes semantically in the sentence, but really when you think about it, the implementation of love begins where? With yourself. And we all know this. I think we know this on some really deep level. We know that if I am incapable of self-love, I'm really not capable of loving my neighbor. Okay? So I thought today might be an interesting time to explore this. I've recently done this myself, so you get what I get. But because it's Labor Day weekend, you know, I was thinking about Sabbath, you know, resting from our labors. And the whole notion of self-compassion emerges for me. And I think it's really important. And I think for the most part, we don't know how to do it. And so I have several things here. And by the way, and I want to refer you to a website. If you want to, just you can just Google self-compassion, and this actually comes up. It's selfcompassion.org. And it's a Dr. Kristen Neff, and she has a book about self-compassion. And she does, this is just the best sort of concise teaching about it that I've seen. So I wanted to offer some snippets from her about that. So giving credit to that. She says several things of what self-compassion is not, and I think that's really helpful. Because a lot of times we hear self-compassion, and maybe you associate with some of these other things, like self-pity, self-indulgence, or self-esteem. Neither one of those is what self-compassion is. So let me sort of walk through that. She says, when individuals feel self-pity, they become immersed in their own problems and forget that others have similar problems. Have you noticed that? I mean, we've all felt self-pity before. Or am I the only one? I probably am the only one. It's just me. Nobody else is, right? Let me spin myself into a pool of self-pity. They ignore their interconnections with others. Contrary to what our mission is to build connection and deepen connections, self-pity separates us from others. We think nobody's got it like we do, or we all of a sudden think it's all about my problems, and my problems make the world and the world's suffering overwhelming and unbearable, and I just can't do anything about it. Self-pity tends to emphasize egocentric feelings of separation from others and exaggerate the extent of personal suffering. Self-compassion, on the other hand, allows one to see the related experiences of self and other without these feelings of isolation and disconnection. Also, it allows us mental space. Mental space is provided for us to recognize the broader human context of one's experience and to put things in greater perspective. Yes, it is very difficult what I'm going through right now, but there are many other people who are experiencing much greater suffering. Perhaps this isn't worth getting quite so upset about. Okay, there's a statement, some self-talk that's not self-pity, but more an example of self-compassion. When Jesus said we must love our neighbor as ourself, I think he's suggesting that we need to learn how to practice self-compassion because it makes us better lovers, right? Self-compassion is not self-indulgence. I have trouble with this one because I think to be self-compassionate, you know, to give myself a day off in a week, well, why should I do that? You know, why should I be entitled to that? It's selfish for me to take care of myself. It's self-indulgent. No. Many people say they are reluctant to be self-compassionate because they're afraid they would let themselves get away with anything. I'm stressed out today, so to be kind to myself, I'll just watch TV all day and eat a quart of ice cream. This, however, is self-indulgence rather than self-compassion. Remember that being compassionate to oneself means that you want to be happy and healthy in the long term. Okay? Self-compassion is going to look for my health and happiness in the long term. I can take drugs now. I can overeat right now. I can do a lot of addictive sort of behaviors that are self-destructive. They are not self-compassion. They're self-indulgent. So while giving yourself health and lasting happiness often involves a certain amount of displeasure, like quitting smoking or exercising or getting off the couch or putting the quart of ice cream away. Ice cream, yes. Sometimes people are often very hard on themselves when they notice something they want to change because they think they can shame themselves into action. This self-flagellation approach. However, this approach often backfires if you can't face difficult truths about yourself because you're so afraid of hating yourself for doing it. So again, self-flagellation, self-hatred, as motivators to shame myself into doing something different, that is not self-compassion. I'm preaching to myself today, by the way. So thanks for listening in. And finally, she distinguishes self-compassion from self-esteem. We hear a lot about self-esteem in our culture, don't we? Sometimes it gets blamed on a lot of problems. Although self-compassion may seem similar to self-esteem, they are different in many ways. Self-esteem refers to our sense of self-worth, perceived value, or how much we like ourselves. While there's little doubt that low self-esteem is problematic and often leads to depression and a lack of motivation, trying to have higher self-esteem can also be problematic. So in other words, self-compassion is not about trying to boost my self-esteem by feeling good about how I look or what I do or, you know, all those sort of external things. Or how much we differ from others, how I might stand out, right? This means that attempts to raise self-esteem sometimes result in narcissistic, self-absorbed behavior or lead us to put others down in order to feel better about ourselves. Have you ever been on the receiving end of some of that? Yeah, you know somebody is trying to boost their own self-esteem by making you feel bad about who you are so they feel better about who they are. Yeah. Not self-compassion. In contrast, self-compassion is not based on self-evaluations. People feel compassion for themselves because all human beings deserve compassion and understanding, not because they possess some particular set of traits. They're pretty, they're smart, they're talented, and so on. This means that with self-compassion, you don't have to feel better than others to feel good about yourself. You don't have to feel better than others to feel good about yourself. Therefore, self-compassion also allows for greater self-clarity because personal failings can be acknowledged with kindness and do not need to be hidden. I'm still working on this one a lot myself, to be quite honest. So there's a piece here. Well, let me wait for that. So she offers three things that are part. So those are the three things that self-compassion are not. It's not self-indulgent. It's not self-esteem. And it's not self-pity. Okay? Three things that are part of a strong practice of self-compassion is self-kindness, recognizing common humanity and mindfulness. Okay? Notice, maybe not in those exact same words, but I think this is all stems out of this same piece of scripture and the teaching of Jesus. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It starts with kindness towards yourself. It entails being warm and understanding to ourselves when we suffer, fail, or feel inadequate. Rather than ignoring our pain or flagellating ourselves with self-criticism. Self-compassionate people recognize that being imperfect, failing, and experiencing life difficulties is inevitable. So they tend to be gentle with themselves when confronted with painful experiences rather than getting angry. There's a book out there called The Spirituality of Imperfection. It really resonates with people that I work with because everybody can identify with being imperfect. And to recognize that the spiritual journey we're all on is one that embraces our imperfection. It doesn't fix it or correct it or perfect it. You know, that's a misunderstanding of what biblical faith is about, you know, that it makes us perfect. It washes away our blemishes. No, it embraces. God embraces us as imperfect people. So that's a really self-kindness kind of approach to our lives and to the spiritual journey that we're on. And then there's this common humanity. That's the piece of the scripture that I really like. And why I think Jesus says, you are close to the kingdom of God. How can he be close to the kingdom of God, teaching there in the temple that day? Well, because he's very close with these people of understanding that loving themselves and loving one another and loving God is the kingdom of God. That's all that God wants for us, is to abide in loving kindness. Right? So the connection to God runs through other people. I often say it that way, right? My connection to God runs through other people. And my ability to love you depended on my ability to love myself. So self-compassion is a connecting thread from me to you. So that's an important building block. And then finally, this third piece of self-compassion is mindfulness. You can't do this without paying attention. You can't just blindly and blithely go about your business. You really have to think about this. And when I say think, that's probably the wrong word because it's not really up here, right? It's a heart, mind, soul, and strength thing. It's a whole person. It's my soul. It's my heart. It's my psyche. It's my mind. But it's not just in my brain. It's mindfulness. So self-compassion requires taking a balanced approach to our negative emotions so that feelings are neither suppressed nor exaggerated. Feelings are neither suppressed nor exaggerated. I've learned this too the hard way. In stressful situations, I noticed and I've been directed to by others that a lot of us have a tendency to either overfunction or underfunction. Have you noticed that? Been to a family reunion lately? When you're with your family, and especially, you know, if it's around a funeral or a hospital situation, I've been in a lot of these, there's always somebody in the room, an older sister, I might name by name, who's overfunctioning, right? So she's going to take on everyone else's problems, and she's going to direct you, and you need to get this kind of coffee for this group, and it has to be in this size container, right? Over-functioning, right? Micromanaging, some people call that. And you need to do this, and we'll get through this, right? So she's kicking into high over-functioning gear. Well, in family systems theory, that's a perfect recipe for somebody else to under-function. And the baby brother might get to just show up and let everyone else take care of me, right? So I'm going to get through this by under-functioning. I might show up if I have to, but it don't make me bring the coffee or do this or, you know, if I have a job to do or a function, you know. So, and frankly, I don't have to show up and do it because somebody else is over-functioning. Guess what? It's going to get done, right? So the reason I say that is that triggered these things, to suppress or exaggerate my own feelings. It's kind of in my own inner sort of universe, my own world. It's the same thing happening on a smaller scale and with my emotions. So I either underappreciate feelings, and those could be positive feelings or negative feelings. Well, it wasn't that good, or it wasn't that bad. Or I can exaggerate it and say, oh my God, my life is ending because I had this problem. You know, I had a bad day. So over-functioning, under-functioning, suppressing, or exaggerating. They're all part of that same thing. And so what mindfulness does is it just helps me observe. And a real key to mindfulness is without judgment. I observe without judgment how I am in this present moment. I'm embarrassed. I'm sad. I'm happy. I'm glad to be here. I'm irritated. I'm pretty good at that. I'm getting better at observing how I am in this present moment without judgment. That comes with practice. And I don't know. Honestly, I think it comes with meditation, because in meditation, you learn to let go of things. And you try not to judge. You try not to judge. But what I do often, I'll just give you an example. So I'm irritated. So I'm irritated in this present moment, and then I have the judgment that a nice, patient pastor shouldn't be irritated with people. So now I'm judging my irritation, right? Maybe you are too, I don't know. That's your business, that's not my business. So now I'm judging that I'm a bad person because I'm irritated, instead of just being mindful that, hey, I'm irritated. Of course I'm irritated, I'm human, right? So it's the without judgment. That's where mindfulness and the peace of self-compassion really is challenging and life-giving. It is where the fruit comes. So I can just observe and just let it be. Because guess what? It's all part of who God made me. And it's part of who I am. We heard this phrase in Sunday school this morning. I just love this. I'm going to use this again. It's from Julian of Norwich. She said, "We're not just made by God. We're made of God." We're not just made by God. We're made of God, right? To be created in the image and likeness of God means we are made of God. So everything that I am, my irritation, my happiness, my sadness, it's all part of who God is through me in the world. So happy Labor Day. Happy day of rest. Happy Sabbath, blessed Sabbath, and may your Sabbath be a time of practicing self-compassion, of giving yourself the gift of being exactly who you are, because you are not just made by God, you are made of God.